తాభి విత్ దెమ్ దుకుల విత్ సిల్క్ సారీస్ వలయై అండ్ బ్యాంగిల్స్ హార వేరింగ్ నెక్లెసెస్ నూపుర ఎంకల్ బెల్స్ కుండలై అండ్ ఇయర్ రింగ్స్ సు ఫైన్లీ అలంకృతాభి డెకొరేటెడ్ విభవౌ హి షోన్ బ్రిలియంట్లీ దీక్షిత హ్యావింగ్ బీన్ ఇనిషియేటెడ్ అజీన బాయ్ డియర్ స్కిన్ సంవృత ఎన్రాప్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ వసుదేవ్ రిసీవ్డ్ ఇనిషియేషన్ అలాంగ్ విత్ హిస్ వైవ్స్ who wore silk sarees and were adorned with bangles, necklaces, ankle bells and earrings. With his body wrapped in a deer skin, Vasudeva shone splendidly. Text 49. Tasyartha vijo maharaja ratna kaushaya vasasah sa sadasya vire juste yathavrita hano dvare. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, Vasudeva's priests and the officiating members of the assembly, dressed in silk dhotis and jeweled ornaments, looked so effulgent that they seemed to be standing in the sacrificial arena of Indra, the killer of Vritra. Tadaramascha krishnascha svai svai bandubhi anvitau rijatu swasutair darai jivvesho swavibhutibhi. At that time, Balram and Krishna, the lords of all living entities, shone forth with great majesty in the company of their respective sons, wives, and other family members, who were expansions of their opulences. Text 51. Ijenu yagyam vidina agnihotradilakshanai prakritair vaikritair yagyair dravya jnana kriyeshwaram. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Performing various kinds of Vedic sacrifice, according to the proper regulations, Vasudev worshipped the Lord of all sacrificial paraphernalia, mantras and rituals. He executed both primary and secondary sacrifices, offering oblations to the sacred fire and carrying out other aspects of sacrificial worship. Purport. There are numerous kinds of Vedic fire sacrifice, each of which involves several elaborate rituals. The Brahmana portion of the Vedic Shruti specifies the complete step-by-step procedure of only a few prototype sacrifices such as the Jyotishtoma and the Darsha Purnamasa. These are called the Prakrita or original Yajnas. The details of other Yajnas must be extrapolated from the patterns of these Prakrita injunctions according to the strict rules of the Mimamsa Shastra. Since other yajnas are thus known by derivation from the prototype sacrifices, they are called vaikrita or changed.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావదూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ ఓమ జ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షురున్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం నమామి విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామీనితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే
ವಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀಯಾದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ಟು ಸೀಕ್ ದ ಬ್ಲೆಸಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಸೀನಿಯರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಪ್ರೆಸೆಂಟ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಐ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ಥೀಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಫೋರ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್. The story so far is Vasudev seeing all the sages assembled at Kurukshetra and thinking himself to be a simple, ignorant, conditioned soul is begging knowledge from them. The sages are saying, you are so exalted that when the Supreme Lord comes, Purana Avatari Krishna, when he comes, he is very happy to be your son. Krishna is called Vasudeva, which means the son of Vasudeva. So why do you need knowledge? Why do you fear entanglement of this material energy? But Vasudev keeps himself in that position that nobody should feel that Maya cannot touch me. Tribhir gunamair bhaverebhi sarvam idam jagat. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, this Maya made up of three modes of material nature, sarvam idam jagat, it's everywhere. Mohitam, it causes moha. Moha is translated generally as illusion. You don't know which direction to take. You don't know what is to be considered important, what is not considered important. The classic Sanskrit example of a moha is that a rope looks like a snake and you are terrified. So it is analyzed by Vedic analysts. The rope is not the snake. There is no fear of snake bite. But the fear is real. The fear which you felt is real. Another slightly connected example is that of a dream. A tiger chasing someone in a dream is not real. The dream itself is not real. But the suffering, that person who is saying, help, help, I am being eaten alive. Unless you shake him, make him lose his sleep, and when he opens his eyes, oh, such a relief, it was just a dream. But you see, his clothes are wet with perspiration. So is that perspiration also false? You can see that for yourself. So one of the
main characteristics of great souls is they have always presented themselves as, I am illusioned, I am mohita, I don't know what is good for me. And that is a very safe kind of position, where you keep yourself as, I am illusioned and I need knowledge. I see this as a stark contrast with our environment, our Kali Yuga environment, where bragging about your knowledge is a must. If you don't tell your glories, who will tell? And that itself brings with it a lot of insecurity. It's not a question of simple people like you and me who don't have any weightage in this material world. But big names. Now it is revealed, because the victim as well as the perpetrator both are named specifically. I was reading about the great Isaac Newton. That apple fell on his head and he wondered what must have caused this. And he thought, there is something more. So many apples must have fallen, still falling. But this one man decided to think about it. And he discovered, or he thought, there could be something which is pulling that apple from where it is after it has gone through a particular stage of being ripened, and it falls down. So like every object then falls down. What attracts it? And thus he discovered the law. He didn't make the law, he just discovered it. But after that, he started thinking more. There is a whole branch called Newtonian physics. Then he has these three laws of Newton. At one particular time, one German mathematician, he was presenting some ideas which were also seen as very practical, very revolutionary. His name was Karl Leibniz. And now we know that Britain's famous Royal Society, anything from Royal Society means it has to be certified, standardized. So the Royal Society ordered an inquiry into this mathematician's and physicist's claims. They said, surrender all your papers and everything, whatever you have. We want to study it before we make it public or whatever. And then they decided, this is not proper. This is not good. Not up to the standard. You can't publish your views. You can't speak about them. Now Newton publicly was saying that I am all for exploration of knowledge and everybody should be allowed to go deeper into blah blah blah, whatever he was saying. But he was the one, he was the president of the Royal Society at that time. So he is ordering his society to make an inquiry. He is the one who is reading all those papers. He is the one who is throttling his research. And in frustration, Leibniz committed suicide. And his whole trunk was filled with paper after paper of so many things which he had written. And then his self-confession that, I don't feel like living here, I don't feel like my knowledge is of any value. So, this is the world that we live in, where one particular aspect of knowledge somebody gets it, he immediately wants to use it for his own purposes, which the Bhagavatam always calls sense gratification. And so somebody is a victim, somebody is a perpetrator. We can't escape this fact. In the Western world, they call it dog-eat-dog world. One dog eats another dog. And that is why thinking minds, cultured minds, they inquire, is there anything higher than this? So, Srila Prabhupada mercifully has given us his purports. And in his purports, we may think that this knowledge is just too theoretical, or Prabhupada doesn't understand what's going on in the real world. So that also is a sign of the false ego that we claim. My office, my home, my kitchen, my dispensary, my factory, that's the real world. And what the Bhagavatam is saying, who has the luxury for these kind of sacrifices now and who has the luxury for this kind of thinking? But we'll have to pay a heavy price, a very heavy price, if we make this mistake of calling that world made up of three gunas as the real world and this world which the Bhagavatam is proposing as just like a luxury or just like I met one person and he had said, I don't have the time for hobbies like spirituality. This is your hobby. You people eat nicely, you know, like one of our brahmacharis, Braj Kumar Prabhu, of course now he's the responsible householder. His father, owner of a big industrial conglomerate, they are established businessmen in that area of Maharashtra. So we had this bus party. Owen Prabhu had this big bus and they were touring. That time, for the first time, we did 60,000 Bhagavad Gitas in a month. It was like a big record. Everybody was very happy. So this devotee's father was with him for 8-10 days when they were near that Amaravati area. And he observed his son's behavior. He also got up for Mangalati and chanted. And every day they would have a lot of hard work selling, distributing Gitas in schools, banks, cooperative societies. And somebody would invite them for lunch. So after that period was over, his father remarked, "This is a very nice life. All you do," he says, "the only difficult part you do is get up in the morning and do that chanting for 2 hours. After that, the Gita is something you like. So you're at the table saying, Gita lo, please take, please take." And then a grand invitation at somebody's place. They make you eat 10, 12 items. This is many of these which we don't even cook at home. And they pay you for eating. So he said, "Now I know why you don't want to come back home." Of course, he's a nice gentleman and this was all said in jest. But spiritual life certainly is not a hobby. It's not an interest. It is not something we do for passing our time. Or also it is not a paranoid kind of reaction. Oh, I have committed sins. Now I need some insurance policy. No, it's not like that. So what exactly is it? Today our main theme will be the setting of this verse number 48, that is sacrifice. I just did a little bit of small observation. Sacrifice comes from the Latin root sacre, S-A-C-R-E, which means to make holy, to make something good, to make something auspicious. Two things stand out from this verse. Tabhir Dukula. Dukula is basically vestment, apparel, clothes. But Bhagavatam talks about what kind of apparel people used to wear as recently as Dwapar Yuga. You may say, hey, what do you mean? Recently is Dwapar Yuga. 5,000 years have passed. But you can see, first point which I am taking is opulence. How much low we have gone in just 5,000 years as regards opulence. The kind of food we eat, the kind of air we breathe, the kind of clothes we wear, the money we have is paper. So, everything has actually come down. When I read for the first time, people in Gokula, they would throw yogurt at each other. And the first thought was, what a waste of dahi. Why should you waste like that? In the sense, today also, many times in the Western world, we have these kind of competitions where the whole emphasis is on wasting it. In fact, I studied economics, and one of the things which my teacher was drilling in my mind is, a country is rich, a person is rich, so much so that he has disposable income. Some of you who study economics or read the Economic Times may understand. What do you mean by disposable income? That means you can throw that income away. You already have 16 shirts, but you buy 4 new because they are available at a sales rate. You may say, why are you buying? I just want the thrill of buying. Shop till you drop, as they say. Yeah. In fact, many people use shopping as a therapy. I'm depressed, I'm bored, I'm angry, I'm resentful. So I'm just going to blow away 50,000 rupees on some shopping, whatever. That's what they encourage. And then there are people who sell antique items. Like one antique shop fellow was hiding a sign. Buy things which your grandmother threw away. At a premium price, of course. It's a premium price. Opulence from the Vedic culture means silk, as they were wearing. Pearls, rubies, gold, silver. Today the police put, like our Bhaktivinoda hospital, there is a big board, and like there are people who snatch chains from women, then mobile phones or whatever, and be careful, and it is coming from the DCP of the police station. I mean, he's supposed to protect us, right, from these kind of things. So he's saying, I already warned you, there are many thieves here. So police will be reduced to just a warning kind of mechanism. They will tell you exactly where the thieves are and what they do, and that's it. Full stop. They don't have the power to stop them. They don't have the power to apprehend them. Prabhupada mentioned in his lectures, there was a Delhi gate, some king, and he had a gate. Outside the gate, there was a decoration of precious stones. So when the Britishers came and they saw, like if you go to somebody's house, and the fence itself is decorated with pearls and rubies, you may say, if this is what he has for public view, how much he must be having inside? Where has this opulence gone? Where is gold gone? Where is silver gone? Now the world knows India as a poverty-stricken country, but they also know that India has the largest reserves of gold. Why? Because we were taught, and rightly so, like today's economic situation, where what do you invest in? And again, the thing comes down to buy gold or buy silver. So, when somebody says that the Gita and Bhagavad, excuse me, the Gita and Bhagavad have these old-fashioned ideas, everything is old, everything is ancient. Why this ancient affliction or addiction for buying gold? Why don't you discover something new and get addicted to that? Think about it. Gold, rubies, pearls, silver, which is like the opulence of the very ancient past, it is still true. Why? Because these are natural resources made by Krishna. Nobody can make gold, nobody can make silver, nobody can make pearl. We can make imitation. Of that imitation also there is so much variety. There is a shop here which sells genuine imitation jewelry. Because the ones made in China is so bad that, you know, this one is not like real gold, but at least for 6-7 months it stays like that. My father told me a story where there was a simple man, very rich, but simple. And he was making a house. And the house was constructed with stone and mud covering, Mangalore type tiles, old fashioned. And he was standing there looking at the construction. And some perfume seller came, he was selling his ware. And this owner, this rich man, it was boring just to stand in the heat, although he was sheltered, but stand there and see the construction. So he told this fellow who was selling perfume, attar, what varieties you have and how much does it cost? Looking at his appearance, he sort of answered very haughtily, "This is called perfume. Very rich people use it, okay? And I'll just give you a hint of how fragrant it is." He was very angry, this rich man. He said, "Well, what does he think?" He understood immediately. He's an expert businessman. Businessmen immediately understand that somebody is sizing them up. And they immediately size them up because that's what a pure Vaishya does all day long. Am I correct, Shinaji Prabhu? And if you don't get him right, then you're not doing proper business. So he told his servants that, "Tell this fellow I am buying the entire cart load, whatever he had." So the sons came, the servants came and told him that, "Your entire thing, whatever you have on your cart, is being purchased. Tell us what is the amount." So he paid him the amount. Till that time he had not shown that he is the owner there. And then he said, "Look, my dear man, you didn't understand when I said what is exactly you are carrying, and you thought that I am just some, you know, good for nothing person here. Look what I am doing to all that perfume which I brought." And his servants are making mixing mud. He said, "Put all of it here." And they did. So of course he learned his lesson, but still after 30-40 years people would go and smell the walls whether it smells of perfume. So that was India. Professor Basham, he was a great friend of the Hare Krishna movement. He had written a book called "The Wonder That Was India." What is that wonder that was India? And why we seem to have lost it? Let us try to understand through the Bhagavad Gita. First of all, this sacrifice, which means to make something sacred, the very word comes for the first time in a shloka in the third chapter. Yagyarthat karmano anyatra loko ayam karma bandhana. Very clearly Krishna is telling Arjun that, Arjun, all work has to be done for yagya. Before that, sacrifice means giving up. That word also comes, but that comes in a purport where Krishna is telling Arjuna, please do not sacrifice your religion, that means your dharma, for something as trivial as material bodily consideration. So the bodily concept of life is something which is hammered by Krishna again and again and again. This is the root cause. This is the root cause. How does one get out of bodily conception of life? I was telling the other day, I was hearing a class by Radha Govind Maharaj, and he in one of his Hindi classes was saying this, Dehatma Buddhi, Dehatma Buddhi, Dehatma Buddhi. So one villager stayed for that whole class to get over, and finally he came to Maharaj and said, ye buddhi khali dehat mein hoti hai kya? Shahar mein nahi hoti. You are criticizing villagers like dehat mein buddhi. He says, dehat nahi, not dehatis. This is deha. Considering yourself to be the body, that's the problem. He said, oh, I thought since you sannyasis nowadays, you just travel to cities, you feel that all these poor village people are to be blamed for dehat mein buddhi. He said, dehat mein nahi, dehat ma buddhi. Considering your body to be your atma. Here atma means my real self. It's a fact. Whatever you consider your real self, you will weave your emotions, your actions and everything around it. And that's why it's very difficult. Because the world outside is like somebody is programmed. You are this, you are this, you are this. And that's how. This programming is not of just this birth. We all have our human birth here, but we are suffering as a result of anadi karma phale padi bhavarnav jale tari bare na dekhi upay. This dehatma buddhi is anadi. Actually, doesn't have a beginning? No, it has. Krishna knows it, but we don't. And that's why it is anadi. It's not like even nobody knows how I fell in. No. For Krishna it is very easy. I know everything. Veda ham samatitani. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Arjuna is requested, Arjuna is instructed that for the bodily consideration, do not sacrifice your religion. And what exactly is religion? In one sentence, Arjuna discovered his dharma, his duty, by fighting. Which is what Krishna was encouraging him to do in the very first place. Just fight. If you fight, you will be relieving yourself of all distress. But Arjuna kept on asking, he kept on objecting it. How can I kill my own relatives, my own this, my own friends? Krishna tells Arjuna very clearly, you did not instigate this war, did you? No. Yadrichaya. It just came. And it's a dharma yuddha. What does dharma yuddha mean? Today we have flags instead of duty. This flag and people standing under that flag, they wear a particular kind of attire, they speak a particular kind of language, they eat a particular kind of food, and they say this is our religion. There is another flag which says we have a different set of rituals, different set of etiquette, and we are against you. This is just fight between two ignorant masses, or three or four as the situation could be. That can never be dharma yuddha. In fact, whether this fight is a dharma yuddha or not, just to understand whether it is dharma yuddha, they chose Kurukshetra. Kurukshetra dharma kshetra. Kurukshetra dharma macharet. Some of you senior people here must be having some inkling of an idea that previously in a village dispute, whether somebody sold land, whether somebody gave money, whether somebody lent money, just bring that person in front of the village temple. That's it. Here is Devi or Mahadev or Hanuman or whatever, Vishnu. Now you tell whether this person actually gave you the money or not. And you say, oh, actually he gave. Why is that? Because there was some feeling that this is the deity and I can't lie before God. Some 50-60 years of hardcore industrial civilization, and that soft feeling, it's gone now. You may be feeling that, well, in some TV serial I saw somebody was still having that faith. It's like remnants here and there. One Prabhupada disciple, Atmadatta Prabhu, he was here, he gave a class. He says, India's culture is like there is a jar, a glass jar. There was hing, asafoetida put in it. And now it's all over. Now when you open it and you smell it, you say, this must have contained some hing. So that's what Vedic culture remains in India. When you open the jar, and sometimes you may sneeze, because hing can cause you sneezes. That's all. There is no, that whole ingredient is not there anywhere. Why? What happened? Let's find out. Krishna begins the third chapter, where in the purport, this verse which I quoted, Yagyarthat karmano, all work. You have to work. Sitting in one place and not doing anything, as the so-called meditation which is popular nowadays. No thought meditation. Not doing anything meditation. It's not possible. Just think for a moment when somebody is sitting there and is, what is your main thought? I should not have any thoughts. That is a thought. I am sitting in a corner doing nothing. That is doing something. You are sitting in a corner. So, this not doing something, Prabhupada said, not speaking something, if you are a fool especially, great, don't speak anything. If all you can do is nonsense and you are sitting and doing nothing, great, no problem. But that person, however expert he or she might be, doesn't understand at all, why am I given a mind? Somebody is not doing anything, he will never be able to understand, why am I given these working senses? I'm not misusing them, but why I'm given them? Like money is the root of all evil, people say outside. And somebody is given 10,000 rupees. And for 10 years, the person comes and says, look, the money is as it is. I didn't misuse it. Now an expert businessman like Srinivas Prabhu will slap him. He said, this should have been 1 lakh by now. Because it has the potential to give you lakh. A seed, if it is given, it has to be planted, then it is made into a tree. So similarly, we have been given senses. We have, all of them, we have a mind and we have the working senses. For what purpose? You may say, every time I use them, I'm simply miserable. Of course you could be, or you should be. Because you don't know the art of working. So this particular verse of the third chapter, ninth verse, Yagyarthat karmano, anyatra loko ayam karma bandana. Otherwise, everything you do, you will be entangled. Bandhana. And bandhana means a shackle, bedi. You're not free. Yajna means two things. Directly Lord Vishnu, yajna vai Vishnu, or yajna means the performance of sacrifices. The actual, we'll go into that little bit later. So performing yajna is actually equal to serving Lord Vishnu. So this is a flowchart I found out in that purport. First time I read it. because of this particular class, I had to read it analytically, and I was very happy. So I thank you for giving that chance. It begins like this. A person with a spiritual master, like many of us here, even if you are not initiated, and if you feel that Prabhupada is guiding you, Prabhupada is your Shiksha Guru. So that means basically all of us. Under the guidance of a spiritual master, we work for Vishnu. Working is not something which we learn when we come here. It's not like somebody was a businessman and he becomes changed when he becomes a devotee. Somebody was a school teacher and now she's something else. Somebody is a housewife, now she's somebody else. No! And what is the guarantee? Or what is the main point here? Srila Prabhupada said, Arjuna was a warrior and remained a warrior after the Gita was spoken. Did he change? Did he go into IT after Bhagavad Gita? Said, no more killing. Let me just do something with my keyboard. No, they are called keyboard warriors nowadays. People who write so many things and for or against something, they are called keyboard warriors. Arjuna was not a keyboard warrior. He was a pakka bow arrow warrior. So he remained that. So what changed in his life? Did he lose his quality as a warrior because too much of Bhagavad Gita? Like sometimes people say, oh, too much of Gita knowledge and now I can't do my business. Or somebody says, I can't cook anything now because 4 years I am doing Bhakti Shastri and... No! In fact, the earlier things which you are doing, you should be doing more diligently, more artfully, more precisely, more beautifully. Because previously there was no reason why I am doing it. Now you have a reason. Yajnavai Vishnu. So any work done for Vishnu saves one from reaction. Once you get a spiritual master, the guidance, start working for Vishnu. The second stage which you achieve is it saves you from reaction. Now this saving oneself from reaction also gives rise to the third one, that is elevates one to transcendental loving service. So here Prabhupada admits, I don't remember in a particular purport or in a conversation, he says the process of working for Vishnu may seem painful. That's a fact. Painful. Getting up early in the morning, chanting your rounds, associating with devotees, or just the onslaught of material nature. Why does it happen that after you begin the process, suddenly you feel that life is becoming very severe, stressful? Why? Does it seem like Maya is exacting revenge on you? Like, hey you decide to leave me? Look what I can do to you. Is it something like that? I don't think so. I'm being very bold saying I don't think so. But touch wood, whatever should not happen to me. So, more than what I deserve. But one devotee explained that just for a drunkard who is like lying down near the gutters, seeing people rush, morning rush hour, 9 o'clock muster, God, if I miss it, you know, one more day gone. So you have to get up at 5:30, fill up water, catch your train or bus or whatever, and you are rushing towards your 9 o'clock muster. And here is somebody who is looking at them, fools. Now, is he happy? Answer honestly in your own mind. Will you exchange places with that person? So, well, he is saying I am happy. He is shouting to the world, look at me. I don't have a boss. I don't have work. I don't have any target. And what I ingested yesterday is making me very happy. But you are sensible. You don't want to exchange places with him because you know this artificially induced state of happiness is not something which I want. So the 9 o'clock rush has gone. It is 3 hours now, 12:30. Now, that fermented grape juice which this gentleman has ingested is now losing its hold on his mind. Suddenly he starts crying. I don't have any money. My head hurts. My clothes are in disarray. What happened? You were laughing at the world 3 hours ago and now you are crying? Not just crying, crying miserably. He is now aware of reality. Now what does an average uneducated person of that sort do? He again does some simple job somewhere and in the evening takes more of that fermented juice so that he remains in that happy position. This is what our life has been for millions of lifetimes. Every time Krishna sends one ray of light through the clouds of ignorance, we put on dark goggles or we take a big blanket over us and say, no, I don't want it. Because when I see my face, I see a very ugly appearance. Now, that ugly appearance is painful. But who caused it ugly? And therefore sometimes when people read about Krishna as a breathtakingly beautiful person, I have seen some psychologists say, I think this is a yearning of the mind to see somebody beautiful. That beauty doesn't exist. Hey, these rishis and munis, they have just made it up, somebody so beautiful. You may say, why are you so envious? Why not accept somebody could be beautiful? Somebody could be opulent. Somebody could be knowledgeable. Somebody could be powerful. They say, we didn't see anybody here. Of course you won't see anybody here like that. Prabhupada called it the logic of Dr. Frog. I don't see the ocean, so it doesn't exist. But you see beauty here, right? Little bit at least, some trace of it. So if there is a trace, there is a larger amount, a larger portion, larger, 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 larger. So if all these are true, why not go to the highest one and say it's infinitely possible somewhere? Many years ago, Srinathji Prabhu gave an example of Ghanshyam Das Birla, the patriarch of this business family, the main person. He once asked, or he was asked by somebody, correct me if I am wrong, Srinathji Prabhu, that how rich are you actually? How rich? Now you may go empty your pockets and see your bank account and within 10 minutes you can come that figure. Okay, I have so much. Possible, right? So he was not a person too much addicted to that wealth. He was more interested in working hard and philanthropy and that sort. But he employed somebody. And they came to understand that they would need days and weeks in order to actually understand how much money he had. And finally, after many, many, many days, they came to the particular amount and they said, but by this time, some of the prices have gone up, some stocks have gone up, some gold must have gone up. Now, one person, one G.D. Birla could not ascertain how rich he is. Now, he is a rich man of Kali Yuga. The Sultan of Brunei or some other Sultan in Middle East or some Hollywood mogul possibly could be richer than him. And this is just one earthly planet. Millions of such planets make this particular universe. And there are billions and trillions of such universes. All of these riches were provided by Krishna originally. And we have to doubt whether, is Krishna really rich? Can he provide me something if I want? And these riches are not what Krishna is like lamenting. Hey, this fellow took 12 million of mine, he took 40 billion, he took 10 billion. He says, Bhinna me prakriti rashtadha. I have just left it for all these beggars to just go in the street and take this and covet it, keep it to the chest and say, oh, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Till the cold hands of death take it away from them. Why? So, this is the Vishnu which Prabhupada has introduced. You are working for such a person. So painful, yeah. So the pain comes when our inability comes down slowly and slowly. Inability is a word Prabhupada uses again and again. It simply means intoxication. So this Dehatma Buddhi, thinking oneself to be the body, is actually a kind of intoxication. Toxic, poison. It needs an antidote. And the antidote is the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Pursuing this plan of serving for Vishnu, serving Vishnu again and again, it becomes a habit later, and then it fructifies into pure love of God. This love of God is our visa to enter the kingdom of God. There is only one visa required, one document required. If you love Krishna, you are welcome. We may say that I love, but then that love is tested. Everything has to be tested, isn't it? Like something is gold, it's written there, gold. Like there was this one person who told one dictator that I made a bulletproof vest. This vest is bulletproof. So he said, okay, come tomorrow, show me a demo. So he showed it, how it is tough. He said, no, Lord, not like that. So he just got a revolver and shot him. Dead. He says, not bulletproof. Take him away. Obviously, how do you test a bulletproof vest? You can't say that this flower vase is unbreakable, but don't throw it on the ground, huh? Until it is thrown on the ground, it is unbreakable. No! It has to be thrown with vigorous force and still it should not be broken. That means it is unbreakable. So our love for Krishna, we, at least I do pray that, Krishna, I love you, but please don't check it. I chanted my rounds today. But don't open the package as to what exactly does it contain. As they say, oh, parde mein rehne do. Let this 16 round offering be in wraps. What if you open it and say that, hey, none of these names have anything for me here. Send it back. Do it again. Well, right from the day I started chanting up till now, I don't know how many names may actually contain that feeling. So therefore this thing here, I have written it down. Prabhupada says, in the beginning, at least, this karmana, what's to be done, what's not to be done. Like all the time, we go to colleges, then we get young boys, young girls also for other preachers, and then they take a job, and then the question is, should I pursue this job or should I give it up? It's always there. Or should I marry this girl or should I not marry at all? So many questions always keep on coming because action will always give rise to questions. Prabhupada just writes one single line. I must have read it many times, but today it hit me. Yesterday it hit me when I read it. He says that work in Krishna consciousness means to satisfy Krishna. The great art of doing work. This is the great art of doing work. Work is not drudgery. Work is not just, you just tick some boxes. No, there's an art to it. And read this. I'm not an expert on this. I'm just saying what Prabhupada has said. In the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. Very expert guidance. Because what is good for you may not be good for somebody else. Our modern allopathic medicine style also has sort of spoiled us. For cough, everybody's cough, there is only one medicine. Fever, everybody's fever, one medicine. But in the ancient practice of Ayurveda, two people with the same cough, One is told, take this massage. One is told, don't take it. You may say, why? Because both of your prakriti is different. Our schooling also, everybody is put through the same grinder. And out comes a graduate, then a postgraduate, then a PhD or whatever. He has learned the art of cracking an exam. What about life? Life doesn't follow the logical pattern. And therefore they feel more puzzled, more angry, that why can't I... Exam time was such a nice time. I could answer the papers very nicely, but how to answer life's questions? So, this expert guidance is most important. We see, coming to this theme again of sacrifice, the Bhagavatam, since it deals with events up to Maharaj Parikshit, it also tells a lot later what will happen. But it's mostly Kali Yuga history. It comes up to Chanakya Pandit. Our acharyas have detected Chanakya's presence in the Bhagavatam. But Kali Yuga history is there was a king, his minister killed him, and the minister became king, his son shot him, and he became king, his servant poisoned him, he became king. So Prabhupada said, hey, that's not history. You have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Henrys, or the 6, 7 Charles. What did the first one and the seventh one do differently? Same thing. So Prabhupada said, history means the history of Rajarshis. Those who were Rajas plus Rishis. You learn something from them. So throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, all the kings, every time there was sacrifice. That sacrifice was like a common thing. Very common. Just like you use your mobile phones or use your social media, sacrifice was that common. Nowadays we may feel sometimes our temples, just in order to attract, you know, mainstream people, they still feel that just you got the murtis and you chanted Hare Krishna and Bhagavan aagaye, Krishna has come. Krishna Balaram temple, Prabhupada called some Rigvedi Brahmanas. And these expert Brahmanas were chanting hours and hours and hours. And very quietly Prabhupada had told some devotees to do Harinam Kirtan in a quiet corner. So these Rigvedi Brahmanas, they did their part invoking various... Like just for those of us who study the Bhagavad Gita, in the 8th chapter, Arjuna asks, Adhi Yajna Kim? Who is Adhi Yajna? Who is the actual enjoyer of sacrifice? Ask any Vedic Brahman outside, he will say Indra. But that's what the Rig Veda says. In the 9th chapter later, Krishna in the 8th chapter later verse, Krishna says, I am that Adhi Yajna. Now you may say, hey, this is my main problem. Why the Vedas say one thing in the beginning and later they change it? Krishna was nowhere in the Mahabharata, so many passages, so many chapters. Suddenly he bursts on the scene and says, hey Krishna Arjun, I am this, and this is my Virat Roop, and better fight for me. Okay? Was it? No! Vedic knowledge, first of all, takes you by the hand. Sees what your intellectual capacity is. Have you seen small kids? I like to observe them whenever in the railway station or whatever. Very small, toddlers. The mother leaves them and tries to give her document or something and she starts crying. My mother has left me. Now if you tell her, here she is, see here she is. They can't. At 10 months, 12 months, 14 months, the vision doesn't go beyond 12 inches. Have you realized this? So similarly, for the beginning student, the Vedas cannot immediately say, chant Hare Krishna, be happy, back to Godhead, that's the goal of life. That's it. In fact, they might be put off. And that's what many people are. We have this offense to explain the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the faithless. But we say, hey, but we chant every day. Chanting is not an offense. Giving the holy name is not an offense. But giving the holy name along with the package of glories Don't do that. Sometimes people say, why should I chant? So just chant, that's all. Believe me, Prabhupada himself had to tell sometimes yogis, this is the only thing I have. I don't have any other miracles. This is the only thing I have. Please chant. So, similarly in the beginning, maybe lifetimes, since the vision is not yet matured, how can you understand what is the goal and the purpose of Vedas? So just like you put your money in the bank and the bank clerk, old-fashioned way, the bank clerk takes your money. It's your electricity bill. When I was a child, I used to ask my father, this is our bill, so why is this fellow taking our money? Later I came to know, he didn't take it. He took it physically on somebody's behalf. He took it on somebody's behalf. He took it on somebody's behalf. It may have gone to the minister of electricity, still he is not the enjoyer. It's a government department is the enjoyer. Simple logic. So similarly, Indra is supposed to take the first Indra Swaha, the sacrifice goes to him. Let him take 1 gram extra and he could lose his job. That's what it is. He has to tally the accounts at the end of the day. How much has come on? So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, why it is said that the Gita is the essence of all Upanishads? The Upanishads take you here, there are some stops in between. The Gita is like the freeway. If Upanishads and Puranas and Mahabharata and Ramayana, of course, Ram is there present, but he is not asserting his godhood. Some people like it. He Admi looks simple. He doesn't brag about I am God. You read Mahabharata, you read Bhagavatam, every alternate page, sometimes he is not saying anything, but Prabhupada puts him. This verse actually means Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And I sometimes say, Prabhupada, I know it. I like to read your books, but every paragraph, why you have to stress Krishna is the Supreme Lord? Prabhupada says, it's my duty. You are giving lip service. Even after reading for 25 years, your lips are saying Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Is your heart saying it? No. I am ashamed. Heart is not agreeable. Heart wants sense gratification. Secret sense gratification, even if it is available. So that's why Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Giriraj Maharaj had come to Prabhupada and they said, we were in South India and one Chief Justice, he complained that see, if you write Bhagavad Gita commentary, Krishna, Krishna is okay, Bhagavatam commentary, Krishna, Krishna. But in Upanishad, the Ishopanishad, there is no mantra which says Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada got so excited. He said, these rascals, where there is Krishna, Krishna is saying, man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. And this Vice President of India, such a great scholar, so called, says, it is not to Krishna which we have to give ourselves utterly. What right he has? Of a temporary post, you are a temporary leader, but you dare sort of cast aspersions on what Vyasdev has written? So he says, because these people, where Krishna is so obvious, they are covering him. So not only where Krishna is visible, we are showing him, where he is invisible, we are also showing him. That's my job, Prabhupada said. That's my job. And that should be our job also. So, that Adhiyagya, the enjoyer of the sacrifice, is Krishna. And sacrifices were used, like Vritrasur came from a sacrifice. Yudhishthira Maharaj did sacrifices. Maharaj Prithu, he also did sacrifices. Sacrifice, the Vedic Homa, is basically the language of Vedic society maintenance. If you want to maintain something, you have to do a sacrifice. Sacrifice was not like something got wasted. in our Kali Yuga shortage days, like you have a sacrifice where 50 kilogram of ghee was used, I also would have felt that why so much ghee was burnt here? Because as time takes away sattva guna, please remember, Satyayuga begins with 100% sattva guna available. People are sattvic. You don't see so many trees nowadays, but in Satyayuga, trees everywhere, every tree laden with fruit. And that's why it is said, why should a bairagi, why should a renunciate beg for food? Take fruit from anywhere. Take clothes which are thrown away. Drink water which is flowing in streams. Especially I was reading this when the train was crossing the Bandra causeway. And I looked down and I said, could it be reality that once upon a time this could be drinking water? Now even if you are asleep, you wake up as Bandra comes. Yeah, no need for anybody to wake you up. So this is the age. And don't think that just because in some Western countries there is no pollution allowed, that water is pure. They also say not fit for drinking. So fruits not available, drinking water not available. How can a holy person just wander around here and there? The next yuga takes, by the end of Satyayuga, 25% is gone. Treta Yuga begins with 75, ends with 50. Dwapar begins with 50 as its capital, ends with only 25. And Kali Yuga begins with a measly 25, and that is attacked every day. So just like for those who are in Mumbai, there is a Sulabh Sauchalai. All night it is closed, early morning, 4 o'clock, they have perfumed it, scrubbed it clean and everything. But after 2 hours of usage, it still stinks. Why? Because what business goes on there? So similarly, the world begins like a perfectly clean Sulabh Shauchalai. But because of the heavy activity of karma done by millions and billions and billions, at the end of the time at Kali Yuga, it has to stink and stink miserably. So Krishna himself comes and says, alright, sacrifice is a must. There is no escape from yajna. But hey, who is asking you yajna of fruits, flowers, grains and big long incantations, Om, Ram, Reem, Phat, Swaha. No need of that. I am giving you something equally powerful. I am giving you, the original manufacturer is giving you something. It's not a cheap kind of China import. He, the original, nothing against China, many things I use are made by them. Thank God for making them so cheap. Anyway, so, just like some people, original manufacturer, they see Chinese products, similarly the Orthodox Brahmanas see the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Will this really work? I mean, no need of doing anything? Just Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, try it. Try it first of all. Mahaprabhu, he gave it profusely. And he confirms. His devotees, they confirm. In Kali Yuga, the Yajneshwara is Vishnu. The Yajneshwara is Lord Chaitanya, the enjoyer of sacrifice. Who is the priest? Who is the Advaryu? Or the Udgata? Or the Hotra, or the Vajpayee, these are the names of this kind of big, ritualistic expert priests. Imagine hundreds and thousands of people, these Brahmanas, chanting in one exact meter. Not a single A is longer than this fellow's A. Otherwise, it's gone. Very, very careful. There would be priests chanting. There would be student priests performing other duties, and a referee priest looking at everybody. Yeah, that's what it would be. One ground, one yajna shala would be like a whole village. Hundreds of ingredients, all pure. Hundreds of tons of ghee, all pure. And then with that kind of fire, they would actually see something happening. When 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada conducted a fire sacrifice, the neighbor was about to call the fire brigade. Imagine New York City, and there is fire emitting like that. In fact, some of the people who were about to get initiated, they felt the smoke was too much. And Prabhupada blissfully sitting there saying, other smokes disturb, this smoke doesn't disturb. And he had the first American initiates. Malati Mataji says, we all given a banana. Some thought we are supposed to eat it. It's supposed to be the symbol of your sin. Don't touch it. I mean, don't eat it. It's got to get burnt. So with that kind of background, that kind of... In the beginning of Kali Yuga, these Naimisharanya sadhus, they were saying, the sacrifice is going on, the yajna is going on. The only benefit is our faces are blackened with soot. Time to understand, this is not the time for that kind of homa. This kind of homa, the yajna which nama sankirtana yajnai, what is that? The sacrificial fire is of the mind. We offer the holy names as ingredients, and the fire is the attentive mind. So that thing is required. Prabhupada was told, when we chant, what are you supposed to do? Prabhupada said, with your tongue you vibrate and your ear you hear. What else? What about my mind? Prabhupada said, where does the mind come in the picture? With your tongue you chant, ears you hear, that's it. That's the problem. It is so simple that my complicated ego cannot accept it. Jananyas Prabhu once said, bhakti is so simple, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you might miss it. Bhakti is like the plain Jane or the plain Joe, average Joe you may see in the street, and you may say, here is the richest person, but he's dressed very simply. You might miss it because you have your own preconceived notions. So the more we chant, following Prabhupada's formula, use your tongue, use your ear, and that's it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, there are few announcements. हिंदी भक्ति वैभव का नया वर्ग शुरू होने जा रहा है. भक्ति वैभव मतलब श्रीमद् भागवतम स्कंद 1-6 का अध्ययन. ये वर्ग हर शुक्रवार शाम को 6:30-9 तक चलेगा. अधिक जानकारी के लिए कृपया टेंपल रिसेप्शन के यहाँ संपर्क करें. There is a 3-day seminar on the aims of Shastric study by His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Dates are 12th to 14th of August, and also there is a 2-day seminar on basic spoken Sanskrit course by Professor Gajendra Kumar Panda from 15th to 16th of August, or eligibility is 15 years and above. For these two seminars, you can kindly contact reception for more details and for registration. Also, there are courses which will be conducted in the month of September. Chaitanya Charitamrita in Marathi Adi Lila, starting date is 5th of September. And Srimad Bhagavatam in Marathi Canto 2, starting date for this course is 10th of September. For registration and details, contact reception. On the occasion of ISKCON's 58th year celebration, ISKCON Worldwide is celebrating the Holy Name Festival from 28th July to 14th of August. As a part of this celebration, we have Kirtan session today from 5 p.m. to 5 p.m. and also there is a 12-hour Kirtan on 13th of August, Saturday, from 9:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Also, there is a journey of self-discovery course which will be conducted from 27th of August to 1st of September by His Grace Brajmohan Prabhu. He is a BTech IIT. To register, please contact reception. Announcements from BTG department. There is a facility of subscribing BTG magazine and collecting it on Sundays. Every Sunday there will be BTG magazine stall put up in temple courtyard from morning 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. and evening 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Also today there is a meeting in Vrindavan Forest for those who are volunteering for BTG magazine services. Time is 11:30 a.m. Also those who wish to take part in Back to Godhead magazine services can attend this meeting. Hare Krishna.